Good afternoon. It is about 49 minutes past the hour of 1 o'clock. You're listening to KFSK Petersburg. This is Hannah Flohr, and I am here in Studio One with the members of Dude Mountain, very recently arrived here in Petersburg. They're here to play a concert at the Sons of Norway Hall on Saturday for the Petersburg Arts Council, and I hear you guys are going to be playing a whole bunch of other concerts around town, a bunch of other sets, beer gardens and such.
Yeah, you heard right.
Mm-hmm. Cool. So first, I'd love for you guys to introduce yourselves and tell the folks listening what it is you're going to be playing here in the studio.
Yeah, so my name's Cullen McCormick. I am the front man of Dude Mountain, also the lead guitar player. In the studio, I'm going to be playing some acoustic, but when we play live, I play electric. So
I'm Chaz Giss, the bass player, playing it upright here today in the studio, electric for the real sets.
And I'm Kalijah LaCornu. I'm the drummer for Dude Mountain right now. I got a little three-piece, I guess, just a big old bass drum with a big old blanket on it to make it look like.
Heavily muted for studio use.
Yeah, there's a bunch of textiles draped all over this drum set.
It would be very coveted by lo-fi artists.
Oh, absolutely.
They would love that.
Yeah.
The tiny desk people.
Yeah.
This does feel a little bit like a tiny desk concert. This feels like one of the most full sessions we've had here in Studio One at KFSK. So the description I've heard of you guys is that you play psychedelic rock. Mm-hmm. Is that accurate? Do you want to add to that description?
I'd say
psychedelic
indie
blues influence.
There's some like country southern influence too.
A little reggae too.
Yeah, some reggae stuff.
That's the thing is, I think it's, you can't really pin it down. I mean, we do by saying it's psychedelic, and we do play some psychedelic,
But psychedelic itself is an abstract kind
of
term.
It is.
You know, mm-hmm. The forms are pretty much improvised, and so anything can happen in any given song. So
He's saying is I could break out in a guitar solo within the first 30 seconds, or...
Yeah. You never know.
New breakdowns and stuff here or there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You guys have not set very many limitations for yourselves.
No.
How do you go about deciding what it is that you want to play? What songs you want to learn? What styles you want to explore?
Kalijah, you want to...
Well, we just kind of jam. We hope for once a week, but knowing us and...
Hey, we've been doing really good. We've been playing a lot more than once a week.
That is true. I mean, I guess lately we're getting our act together.
Yeah. We do a lot more work on originals these days than covers.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
We'll have a few like tasteful covers or like arrangements of covers rather that we try and do in there. But we're pretty productive on the original material.
Yeah.
The comment about tasteful covers leads me to ask, what is a tasteless cover?
Sweet Child of Mine.
Yeah.
Freebird.
No, well, that well, can, that
we
can
did
be,
Freebird that time.
Listen, that can be tasteful.
That can be
if
tasteful.
Done right.
Yes.
If done right.
It's just one of those ones that's requested.
How dare you? How dare you?
Stuff that everybody does, any regular bar band that might.
What
do.
Else? I would say Sweet Child of Mine would definitely be
Stairway to Heaven.
I don't know. What's the
most covered song ever?
Dang it. Don't worry, Chaz will think of it.
Boom, 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 boom.
Bum, 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 bum,
oh,
Mustang Sally. That's right.
Yeah,
something
like
that, right? That ilk.
Okay,
that
ilk. Got it. So we won't be listening for any of those.
Yeah.
Do you want to start off with a song? Let people know what you mean when you talk about your psychedelic rock
wide range. Interesting with the acoustic setup, so it's, feel a little bit
This
easier.
Is experimental.
Sure.
I told the dudes before we went live that the sound is not going to be great on the first one, and we're just going to adjust volumes afterward.
All right,
we're going to try it out.
You guys want to try for the first one? You want to do Inside Out instead of...
Sure.
Okay, cool.
And is this one of your originals?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
We wrote this, a couple weeks ago? Three, 4 weeks ago?
Well, we did it for Folk Fest, didn't we? So it was almost a month ago.
Cool.
Yeah. Time flies.
All right, ready, boys? Mm-hmm. 1, 2, 3, 4. The same old Keeps on spinning around. Yeah, there we go.
Nicely done. I'm impressed with that. That's just a month old. That seemed
it's
like...
It's a cutie. It's a little cutie.
It was a cutie. So that's on your new EP. How many songs are on your new EP?
So the new EP is going to be... we were originally going to do 5. But we kind of, the thing that I came into, and we all write, you know, we all write the tunes. But the thing that I came into is we started the EP a while back. And so a few of the songs we ended up cutting because I feel like as a band we outgrew those specific songs. And as we progressed, I just feel like the style that we were playing in those early recordings, we kind of outgrew.
We've only been doing this for like a year and a half.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I wanted it to be a better representation of kind of what we bring to the table in 4 songs, right? It's just going to be 4 songs.
Yeah.
So we're doing that, and then this
winter, particular one isn't on there.
No, that one's not. That one's not on there.
Yeah,
okay.
It's not on there.
That's going to be on the full length album.
That's looking for the fall.
Yeah.
Okay. Looking at fall for
okay.
We'll see.
Tell me about your songwriting process.
We meet at Kalijah's apartment and we just start throwing riffs around, and Colin's the most experienced songwriter as far as the words, and just trying to figure out what kind of words and vibes feel good, right? And it's just a matter of if we like a riff, going around it a few times and seeing what kind of melody occurs, and then seeing what kind of word feels like it fits, and then kind of...
And we pretty much know, right? We pretty much know if it's going to be something that we... vibe with or something that we don't vibe with right out of the gate. Like the first 2 or 3 minutes that we're kind of jamming on something, it's pretty easy to tell.
Yeah, it is a improvised process, and it's happens pretty quick when we do put it together.
So you'll hear something and be like, oh yeah, that's it. And is it unanimous? Everybody's like, oh,
basically,
yeah.
For the most part, we haven't really had to vote on anything, really.
No,
so normally it comes pretty natural.
You have a pretty cohesive... aesthetic. And
yeah, I think we work well together.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm curious how it feels to write new music and send it out into the world. You know, you started as a cover band. Mm-hmm. How does it feel to have your original songs and play those? Like, what's different about those two?
It's just, they represent us. It's our, it's
personal
our brand.
Connection with some of the song beyond just liking it. Like I helped, you know, create this feeling.
Also, go ahead.
Well, I mean, if we, like last year when we came to Petersburg, if we were just a cover band, it would not have the same kind of reception. If we went to Juno and we were just another cover band, it would not have the same reception.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a big part of just the branding and marketing, and it's just a different kind of feeling going out there and seeing the good response.
And I will say, it is super cool. So we don't have any recordings out yet, but it is super cool that people already know some of our songs and like request us to play those songs, and they're not even out, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like, hey, can you play?
You've only heard it if you've gone to a show. Yeah. And
hey, are you guys going to play whatever, you know? Yeah. Are you guys going to play Ohio tonight? Yeah. And we're like,
Yeah, absolutely.
It's on the set. Yeah.
Yeah. So I have a request, but it's a request for a song and a story.
Okay.
I was talking to your wife, Colin, who is the band manager.
She is. Co-manager.
Excuse me. My apologies.
We're
working on the titles.
We're still figuring it out.
Everything's evolving. So she told me the story about how you guys went to a cabin in the winter to write songs, and then you met a camper, and there's a whole story.
A wanderer.
So there's
I'll let these boys tell
you. Okay, so I want to hear that story.
So I was, we were at this cabin, and, you know, we had been like, I think we just ate those burgers that took about 2 hours to cook.
Yeah, it was a really...
Why did they take 2 hours to cook?
It was a slow cook. We were told that we were able to cook food on the little...
It was just this little gas...
propane stove
propane stove, and it just didn't... It didn't get very hot.
It was
hot.
Lukewarm. It
took a very long time.
One of the better burgers I've had, you know.
It was good.
Well, regardless.
It was good. I did okay.
Yeah.
So, you know, after that little snack, and I stepped outside by myself to do a little breathing exercises, per se.
Manual breathing,
yeah,
we call it.
And, you know, this little cute little dog looked like a little bird dog and had a little yellow raincoat on.
Yeah, yes.
Old Millie, but it just emerged out of the woods, came right up to me, just sat there, hung out, and like I was just like hanging out, and this dude, it was just like before I even knew it, was like right up, like within talking distance. He's like, "Oh, you found old Millie." So I was like, "Oh, this is your dog?" And you're like, yeah. I'm like, hey, what's going on? And he's just walking around, just doing his normal little hike stuff. And eventually Chaz walks out. So I talk to him about, like, his travels. He went up to, like, the Great Divide.
Whatever that means.
The Great Continental Divide. It's just the Canada-America border.
Okay.
It just sounds way cooler when you say it like that.
That's what it is?
It's the Great Continental Divide.
Okay. Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, right. No, it's a little less cool now, right? Oh, okay. No, it works great.
It's cool if he was trespassing.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
Yeah, that's cool. Trespassing is cool.
Always cool.
And then, eventually Colin came out, and we just kind of kept talking and talking, and eventually we just, like, started to use his quotes for the song, but there's one in particular that was, like, one thing he said. It was when he was leaving. He kept on saying, like, yeah, see y'all later. We were just saying our goodbyes. He just, like, kind of slowly walked away. And we're like, all right, man, like, you have a good day. And he's like, no, have a good life. Right. And we all just kind of stopped and looked at each other and we're like,
disappeared into the wilderness.
Yeah, and just into the woods, just turned a corner and gone forever. And like, we just kind of looked at each other. And I was like, dude, we got to write a song about this guy, like, right now.
Go back into the cabin and write the song?
Right away.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay,
basically immediately.
So you wrote the song, but then you were driving down the road.
Yes,
Colin.
I was driving down the road, and I'm just cruising, you know, in Ketchikan. It's way out north in Ketchikan, like the road, not, I know that Ketchikan is south of here. So I'm driving way out north on the road, and just cruising, and all of a sudden I see this dog with a little yellow raincoat, and I'm like,
oh, man.
It sparks something. And
he was real.
He was real, and then I saw that it was Floyd. I slammed on the brakes and, like, my car slid. I was like, are you Floyd? He's like, yeah. I was like, oh, I thought we made you up. I didn't know that you were actually real.
Yeah, it seemed like a ghost. It seemed like this guy did not exist. Just
no, he was
just
real.
Come
he was real.
Get some wisdom and dissipate into the wilderness.
And I told him we wrote a song about him, too. And then, you know, full circle moment, he comes to our next show and hears us play Floyd.
What did he have a response?
He was already gone, but we played late. We played late. We played till like 1 a.m.
2-3 hours.
I'd like to say that he maybe liked it.
I hope so. It feels like having a song written about you is probably a once-in-a-lifetime experience.
Yeah.
Will you guys play Floyd?
Yeah.
I guess we can play Floyd. It wasn't...
Yeah, we'll do it. All right, you talk to Seth.
Oh, cool. Yeah,
the tempo. I love Floyd.
Yeah, always good. It was one of my suggestions for this set. Anyway.
I got to remember where I capo it here.
Well, it's a little different every time.
Yeah, good.
So today we're capo 7 for those listening.
Don't give the secrets.
Floyd, man.
Old Floyd.
I want to ask about some of the sound effects that were happening. Chaz, you were bowing on the bass in the beginning.
Yeah.
What was going on there?
That's just a harmonic technique. Using the bow to activate some harmonics on the bass. Harmonics are all string instruments have them. Horns and stuff have them too, but it's just a technique where with the right bow speed, I can, with any given stopped note, a full note like this, I can pick any part of the harmonic series and blend them in different ways and get these little trippy little sounds. Then I just wiggle around and you get these cool squeals and wails. Kind of like movie soundtrack stuff.
Yeah. Why did that feel like the right thing to add to that song?
Vibes.
Yeah. It's all about
usually
vibes.
This is the first time I've done it on the upright. So usually, you know, we're all electric. It's cool having the upright there as an option for that. I like that. I mean, with that pedal, I can actually plug an upright in. And it'll be, when it's available, it's cool having both upright and electric. I play both at home. I've been a full-time bass player in Ketchikan for about 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
Can I add that you might be the only full-time working musician in the Southeast?
I might be.
I don't know.
It depends on where your lines are. Every art people
all do it differently if you're an arts worker of some kind.
Mm-hmm.
So how people's little pie charts balance out is different for everybody.
But you, so you are a working musician. What's your background? I want to hear all of your backgrounds and how you got into this, band situation.
Well, I started playing bass in high school for my friend's metal band. And then I went to college in Fairbanks, went to UAF, and did upright bass up there, and came back and started selling fish, but playing bass on the side. Every year I sold a little bit less fish and played more bass, and then I stopped selling fish, and it's been fine.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
What about you, Cullen?
So I grew up in Tennessee, just north of Nashville, and my family was, they had a bluegrass band, my grandfather and all of his brothers. They were bluegrass musicians. They actually opened up for Johnny Cash, played the Grand Ole Opry, played at the Washington Monument, all these super cool accolades. And so I always grew up around music and really got into it, though, when I was about 12, 13 years old. I got the game Guitar Hero. And I'm one of the Guitar Hero kids.
I started with Guitar Hero.
Yeah, it just really... turned
Wait, I'm sorry, all three of you started with Guitar Hero?
Before I played a real instrument, Guitar Hero was it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just kind of, I remember specifically one day, I was playing a song, like a really hard song on Guitar Hero. I think it was probably Through the Fire and the Flames.
Yeah. Yeah.
If anybody has ever played Guitar Hero, they know that's the Feast Day of Resistance. You know, that's that's the one. So I was playing that on like expert hyperspeed. I know I'm getting nerdy here, but I'm like playing it and I'm like, Dad, come here. I'm like 12 at the time, maybe 11, 12. I'm like, Dad, check this out, man. And he looks at me and looks at the game and looks at me. He's like, why don't you just play a real one? It's like, oh, good idea. And so they bought me my first guitar. It was a little, you know, it was a little crappy little thing, but I was obsessed.
And it translated from Guitar Hero to the real guitar.
Yeah,
and you were
parts
of it translate.
Parts of it do. Yeah. Yes.
You know, it's just the rhythm. The rhythm is all the same, you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Except on a Guitar Hero, you have five buttons on a guitar.
Yeah, so it's like the fingerings on the buttons don't have any kind of correlation.
Right, right. But you know, it hits the same spot.
The rhythm skills are all there, and some of that's like
the
most important thing.
In a battle on Guitar Hero.
I think I would beat y'all.
Really?
No, you say you're good.
No, dude. I can play.
Says they're good,
I can turn around
demolish.
And not
okay,
look
we're
at the
gonna we're gonna have to do a follow up on that question because it needs to be determined in real life.
We'll have to do it.
Kalijah, how did you get started in music and how'd you end up playing the drums for Dude Mountain?
I was born in Ketchikan but moved to Washington, and my mom always just really supported like anything arts-wise for us kids.
Shout out to Tina.
Mm-hmm. She a real one. She like always just encouraged any form of art and activity. So eventually, I actually got a guitar first, and me and my brother were practicing it, and he completely just excelled, and I plateaued. And I was like in like fifth grade, maybe a little bit younger, and I was just like, just mad. Just mad. I'm like, all right, no. So you know, I kind of just dropped that for a little bit. And eventually, one of my middle school teachers told me to join band once. And then eventually I became a drummer through that. And for Dude Mountain, I kind of moved back to Ketchikan when I was just kind of like stagnant in the early 20s, not moving forward, backward, nothing. So I was like, well, might as well do nothing in Alaska. And I went to this little cabaret, this Creek Street Cabaret, and there was this beautiful open mic happening. And that was like, I just started going there by myself just to listen. I loved it, just live music every week. And, you know, so at some point they were missing a drummer. And I just kind of raised my hand at some point, which is not really my character whatsoever. But, I mean, hey, that's how I started playing with these guys. And eventually...
Yeah, we were the backup band. It's kind of a live band karaoke kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And we still do it every week now. Mm-hmm. It's moved around a little bit, but...
I'm really impressed that you raised your hand, and somehow it seems like you guys have a really cohesive vibe. You're a really good fit.
I'm
impressed by that. So we have to talk about Folk Fest.
Oh, yeah.
You had I think you played four different sets in Folk Fest, and there was famous 4-hour Alaskan bar set that, you know,
whoops.
All of my friends in Juneau one of them's going to be here this weekend. Cool. And she was beside herself with joy to find out that you would be playing. So first, I just want to talk about the logistics of playing a 4-hour set. Like, how do you play for 4 hours straight? Like, does the energy of the crowd just take all the discomfort away?
The best way I can explain it, tunnel vision, but not that you can't see what's going on around you. It's just you're so in the moment that you're just focused on, let's keep playing. Everybody's dancing. Everybody's having mm-hmm. a good time. And that kept going.
Yeah.
Kept going. Like a state of flow. Oh, mm-hmm. It was insane. And nobody, you know, the dance floor stayed full the whole time.
Yeah. All 4 hours. A lot of it's just reading the room. And if sometimes you feel that, okay, if we try and take a break, a lot of times we don't take breaks necessarily. Well,
because you'll lose money.
Yeah, you'll lose people if you take a break, right? But even when you decide to quit, regardless of what your expected time slot was, kind of depends on the room. And if the energy's still there, and, you know, that feeds you energy and you just keep going and it's mm-hmm. fine. Mm-hmm. And a 4-hour set isn't all that unusual, like for your various bar dance bands and Ketchikan, but usually we do like 2-2.5 hour sets and keep kind of it tight and, you know, it's more original music and try and keep a tight show. Mm-hmm. But that one went really wild and really late. We basically played till bar closed in Juneau, which is very late.
Yeah.
Like 3.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we were expecting end at like 1 or something. So
whoops.
Well, the reviews I've heard have been excellent.
Well, broke the sales record at the Alaskan Bar by $2,000.
That's incredible. We've got about 15 minutes left. Time is flying by, and I want to make sure we have time for a couple more songs.
Okay.
So do you want to play another song? And then I've got more questions.
Okay.
Let's do... Which one do you guys want to do? Let's do In the Sun.
Okay.
This one is going to be on the upcoming EP.
In the Sun.
And the title of the EP is going to be called Northlandia.
One of the first songs we ever made, too. In the Sun. Mm-hmm. The first one.
Thank you.
mic, or not my mic, my headphones were choking me out. I was like, oh.
Colin's getting a little wild over here. Lost his headphones. So you're talking about Folk Festival, and you guys have really gotten a lot of buzz since then. It seems like everybody who's seen you live is really excited to see you live again. So I'm curious how it feels to have that kind of sudden buzz. Does that, what does that, what does that do for your...
I don't even know what to do with it. Like, I'm going to be honest. I'm trying to keep my head, you know, the same size it is, pretend like it's kind of not happening until I can't pretend that it's not happening. Because, you know, that is, I'm not trying to, it's a really odd feeling that I've never had to navigate before.
Yeah, I'm not processing it entirely myself. I'm trying to deal with the logistics of it. And we have all, you know, we have an official email. We have drop shipping merch set up. And we're working with all these different artists and stuff for... we have Fashion Week coming up in July, right? So there's all this different kind of new communication going on that's become like a part-time hustle suddenly, and that I'm usually not dealing with as just like a working, like, you know, playing in restaurants and bars and stuff in Ketchikan. So it's definitely, it's new for me, and I'm happy to do it with, you know, my own kind of unit rather than part of, I've been here with the Wranglers before, Ratfish Wranglers with Ray Troll.
Yeah.
And so it's nice to have, move on my own power.
Yeah.
And it feels good.
Yeah.
Sorry, I have that. My nose. It's running. Allergy season.
Yeah.
You need a tissue?
It's too late for all that.
We do have a tissue over there.
Okay.
How about you, Colin? Do you have any feelings about it, or
I'm
just rolling with it?
I love it, and I'm just rolling with it.
Yeah.
The favorite thing is it's something that I've always worked for. It's something that I've always wanted to do, was to travel and play music. And it's just a really good feeling. For me, just personally, because when I moved to Ketchikan originally, I thought, oh, well, I'm never going to play music again, right? I was like, I'll be stuck playing these little coffee shop gigs, and little did I know, you know, it's rock and roll time.
So. What are your goals, or what are you looking for going forward? Like, what are your dreams as a band?
Well, next step is Anchorage. Getting up in Anchorage area, getting on the road system and making those connections. And then we have kind of Bellingham, Seattle, Portland area.
A little bit down south travel, maybe. That'd be real nice to get down there. Yeah, I feel like it's just a good crowd down there,
south
too.
Tour.
Yeah.
Yeah,
just to get all those balls rolling and get the connections. You know, once we get the EP out, what? Once we get the EP out and we work on the full album with Justin Smith.
I think there was a personal. I think there was a private joke that happened that Trev and I were not party to.
Yeah.
So we're gonna. We have like 6 minutes left.
Okay.
So let's play. Can you play one more song? And I think that's all we have time for.
You want to do? We had.
You're gonna do Reelin' in the Years?
Yeah, we'll do it.
I had mentioned this song to Sasha because my friend who was at your show at Folk Fest wrote me an all caps text message that said 10 out of 10. So
We'll see if we pull it off.
Let
acoustic.
It rip.
We'll see what happens here.
Might be a little funky.
Cool. Yeah. The old acoustic version. Ready?
Yeah.
Blows my mind, but you wouldn't know it. I just cannot understand. Are you reeling in the year, storing away the time? Are you gathering up those tears? Have you had enough of mine? Are you reeling in the year, storing away the time? You gathering up those tears? Had enough of mine?
Version of that. That's different on acoustic.
That's tricky. Yeah,
that's
Holy
a workout
crap.
On the bass, huh?
God
yes.
dang, yeah.
I think it worked. Cool. I, you know, I wasn't playing, but you guys were working hard, but I think it worked.
Sweet.
As the audience member. Yeah.
Cool.
So you guys are going to be playing. Mm-hmm. I have my notes here and they're incomplete. So this is a little bit of a quiz for all of us. You're playing the Arts Council on Saturday
Sons
night at
Norway.
The Sons of Norway.
That's at 7.
It was 7:30-ish. It was a little earlier than their ones because it's an all ages show.
Let's just say 7.
No, 7-ish.
We'll say 7.
Yeah.
Okay.
And tickets for that are still available at Lee's Clothing.
Yes.
They're $15, $20
at the door.
Okay.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Then you're going to be playing tomorrow night, Friday, at Keto's at 9.
Keto's, yep. On the main stage and also the
Beer Garden.
The Beer Garden,
Beer Garden yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So Beer Garden's tomorrow and Saturday. The slot is noon to 4.
Yeah. Noon to 4,
we'll
Keto's,
there.
Beer
we'll
Garden.
Be there, yeah.
We'll be there.
We won't be doing the whole 4 hours.
Or will we?
We don't know for sure, really, once we get started.
I feel like you've set a precedent, and now people will expect it.
What have we done? What have we done? Yeah, so Keto's tomorrow night, Sons of Norway Saturday night.
Okay. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about fans coming up and saying hi on the street? And folks can recognize you. I wanted to talk to you about this. We don't have time.
Sure.
You have a real, like... cohesive 70s sleaze vibe that really goes with your music. So folks can recognize you by the trio of people sleaze. Who just look like they would be psychedelic.
That's how I recognized Delgado when I first got here and met them. I was like, who's that half a mile away? That must be, that's the only possibility is that that's
shout
Delgado.
Out to Delgado.
Yeah, shout out Delgado.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very nice supporting
trio.
Us for this. Delgado trio, now they got a drummer now. Yeah.
They were partly responsible for getting you into
that. Oh, yeah, it's very
Oh, yeah.
We're very grateful.
They were doing the Lord's work. It was great. Mm-hmm.
So we've got 30 seconds here, but if folks see you on the street, you're fine with them coming up.
Yeah,
say hello.
What are we going to do about it? Yeah, great.
I'll say hi. Well,
I'll run away.
Yeah, Kalijah will run away.
He gets scared. He gets startled.
Yeah,
he
might bark. He might bark at you, too.
It sounds like there's a whole host of unexpected possibilities, musically and otherwise, that could come from
shenanigans.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being here. Thanks for coming to Petersburg. Can't wait to hear how all of your different sets go.